You're listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play Fate Core game by Noble Jester Productions. Welcome to Rillian, a Western fantasy world where magic needs fuel, and that fuel is mined and refined into Ecton. A place of vast deserts, dark rituals, and greedy mining companies. A dwarf awakens and has forgotten who he is. Who is Forboden, and how will he seek to remember his past in the midst of this harsh world?
And pick up right there where we left off. The townspeople scatter a little bit and you have free rein again. You're welcome to keep exploring if you want, or I'd say it's probably mid-afternoon at this point because you woke up around midday. So you're free to keep exploring if you want, or you can go to the Markin home, which is where Jasper said you could stay, or you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think I'm going to spend some more time trying to learn about the town, especially that that shunt mining company showed up so quickly. And luckily I was okay, but I think it'd be good to be prepared and understand like what each building is, if there's a safer place to hold up in case these guys come back. So I know I check out the church. So looking around the square, I know we talked about there's a dozen or so kind of around this main square. I saw those one guys messing with that. What was it, a saloon or bar or something that was there? So yeah, what are some of the other things that I see?
Yeah, so just doing a walk around the square, you can see the saloon. There's a sign over the door that says the Golden Sun. Continuing on, right next to the saloon, there's a hard goods store called Ada's Goods and Mercantile. There's a little bit taller building next to that. It just simply has a sign called Room and Board. The church, Yindra's house. There's a smithy, and looks like behind the smithy there's what looks to be a stable, and you can just see there's a sign on it that just says Sunny's. You actually see that half-giant that had spoken to you earlier going back into that building. There's a smaller building that looks like it just says Layla's Wash and Sew, and there's a butcher, it looks like, right next to that called the Hog Hole, and then what looks to be maybe a schoolhouse, maybe governmental building, set back off of the square. You can see what looks to be a mill, a larger building that could be a sawmill, could be for grain, those sorts of things. And then there's just houses and barns and things kind of scattered around, but that seems to be kind of the extent of the business type.
Okay. Are these houses that for like residents, are they within this main square and mixed in with those, or are they like kind of set back?
There's one or two within the main square. Most of the square is those buildings, and then outside of those buildings along the road that kind of leads to the southwest, there's some houses and then a couple just kind of set back away from the square.
Okay. I think what I'd like to do, since I've already had to engage in a shootout here, this gun obviously felt super familiar, but there's a portion of that chamber that I'm not aware of as far as what's this residue that's in here. So maybe I can go to the smithy and see and ask around and see if that's something that they would understand what I said for.
Okay. So you walk over to the smithy. You actually hear the sounds of hammering on an anvil, and that ends kind of as soon as you walk in, and you can see that half giant who at this point you assume is Sunny, and he sets down a hammer and looks at you and says,
"Oh, hello. Yes.
Yes, hello there. Name's Verboden here. How's your day going? We had a bit of a stir out there, and glad I could be of assistance there."
"Oh, yes, definitely. It's nice to see you. My name is Sunny. Sunny Ridges."
"Oh, Sunny Ridges, that's a pleasant name. Well, so I was hoping you could help me out here. So I got this six-shooter here that's... it served me well just a few minutes ago here, and I was hoping you might have some information. I've got this glass chamber on here. You ever seen anything like this?" And so he'll kind of hold it out, handle first to Sunny.
Okay. He takes it and just kind of inspects it over. While he's looking at it, I want to have you see how well you can read him. So I guess let's do influence. I want to see how well you read his mindset and thoughts as he's looking at this. I don't know if that's one of the skills you've picked or not, but.
No, so that is not one that I have picked. So then that would just be straight roll, no modifier.
Correct.
All right. First roll of the day. Ooh, that hurts. That is a negative two.
Okay. Are you going to try to do anything with that or just leave it?
Let's see. So I would have my three fate points, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think those reset as you start a new session.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think I have anything that makes sense with that. So, yeah, it's unfortunately my role.
All right. Well, that's okay. Because he's not really trying to hide anything. Mm-hmm. I just want to see kind of how well you could read him. So, not very well, apparently. He looks it over and he says, well, that is quite the weapon. This is a small town. We don't have a lot of experience with weapons like this. Seems to be well made. Is there a specific question you have about it?
Well, it was really more that chamber there. Just kind of curious about that. I wasn't really, didn't understand what it was there for. So just, yeah, trying to see if anybody was familiar with that.
He flips a switch on the side of the gun and pulls that chamber out. And you can see that it's kind of a glass vial. And he sticks a finger in it and kind of, you know, rubs it around and says, yes, that's Ecton.
Ecton, yeah, that sounds familiar. So based on what we were talking about with the world, I know I had like a general idea. Am I super familiar with Ecton and its importance and what it does and all that?
I'm going to say no. You would be vaguely familiar with the concept of Ecton, that this is a refined material that comes from the ore that is mined out of the ground. You've already been kind of told that what Ecton actually does and its importance, you're not really that familiar with.
Got it. All right. Well, this Ecton, is that something I can, do you have some I can take for this, or is that something easy to check out?
No. We are a small town. We do not have Ecton. That's manufacturer of Ecton is not allowed for people like us.
Oh, really? Who made up that rule?
I assume Yindra herself, but the government and the spirited mind, I believe.
Well, I guess I'm not going to put any of that stuff in this for today. But yeah, I appreciate your information and your time. I'll be staying in town here for a bit just until I can, you know, figure out my plans. But you know, I greatly appreciate you.
Ada may have some for sale in the store, but certainly none of us would just have some lying around.
Oh, well, should I be a little secretive there with Ada? Sounds like if you're not supposed to be having that, like, do I need a coder or something with Ada?
No. She can sell it. We can have it. We just can't manufacture it, but it is, all right. It is expensive, so it's not something that any of us would have. Maybe Piter, I'm sure he may use it for some kind of rituals or magic in the church, but no, I don't think anyone else.
Okay, well, I might stop back there with Piter. I had the pleasure of meeting him, and thankfully he's okay after that altercation with the mine folk.
Yes, I am glad that you were here. It had the potential to be very bad, and I am worried.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that I'm necessarily glad I was here, but I'm glad how it ended, and me still on my two feet.
Yes, certainly. We're not good fighters here. We are quiet folk, go about our business. If they come back, we will be in trouble.
Yeah, that's a bit of a worry of mine, so I'm hoping to do what we can to be a little more prepared, because I would assume that once word gets back that took out this dwarf out here in the street, that I'd be coming back, so.
Are you planning on sticking around?
I'm not sure at this point. I really don't know where I'm going from here. It's all still pretty blurry. I'm picking up things, and yeah, I don't know. It's a weird day. I apologize. I feel silly telling people this ridiculous story about me not remembering things, but it is what it is, so we'll see how it goes.
Perhaps it's selfish of me to say, but I hope you stick around.
Well, I appreciate that. Some nice folk here. Maybe that'll work out. I appreciate it, Sonny.
I hope you have a nice rest of your day.
Well, it's definitely brighter talking to you. All right, so Verboten will walk out. I think he's going to go. He'll go back to Piter, check in with him after what happened, and maybe see if he can do something about scrounging up his act and stuff.
Okay. So you go back to the church, and there is actually a gnome who is kind of up near the front and looks to be cleaning, just kind of cleaning around the various things, kind of with a rag.
And she's inside the church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Up so, kind of by the altar.
Okay. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to startle you there. I apologize. I was in here just a little bit ago with Piter. Is he okay? Is he around?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think he's just in his room. I can get him for you.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak to him again.
Oh, of course.
Huh. She walks back into a room kind of on the side of the building, and a couple of moments later, Piter walks out.
Hey there, Piter. You doing okay after all that out there? That was a bit of a mess.
Oh, yes, I am fine. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. Hey, I was over at Sonny's. There, I had a pleasure of speaking with him. I was trying to find this Ecton that I've been hearing about. Is that something you have available here? I feel like that might help with me in case my folk come back. I have this gun here with what appears to be a place for that. I'm not really sure what it does, but I imagine it would be some use.
Yes, I could provide you some Ecton. Yes, I think I can do that for you.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can pay you now. Make a donation, I guess. I don't know. What would you like here?
Well, a donation would be fine.
So he'll reach into the pouch that he picked up off that guy. He'll take 2 gold out. And then is there like a place for an offering there?
There's a box near the door. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he'll go and he'll put those in the box.
He has a bit of an odd look on his face. And you kind of get from his look that 2 gold is nowhere close to enough. But he nods and thank you. That is very kind. And he pulls a small pouch off of his belt and opens it. You can kind of see it's kind of a leather case that has several small openings for vials. He pulls one out. You can see that it's filled with this kind of slightly glowing blue, thick, viscous liquid. Mm-hmm. He closes the case and puts it back on his belt and brings it over to you and hands it to you and says, hopefully one vial is enough. They are rare in these parts.
Oh, I see. Couldn't help but notice there. I want to make sure you're okay with. I don't want you feeling like I'm stealing from you here. Would you like more than what I put in there?
You must understand, Ecton is very rare and expensive. But no, Yindra takes care of those of us in her service, and any donation you give is a donation, not payment.
Okay. I just wanna. I'll make sure we're square there. I appreciate that. I'll take it from him.
Okay. Yeah, you take it. And it looks like you could just replace the vial in your revolver with this vial.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to do that right in front of him. So I'll just, you know, thank him and head out. As I'm walking out, once I get outside of the church, I'm in the entry there, then I'm going to go ahead and, like, put that into the chamber.
Okay. As you do, I said that the barrel of the gun was kind of carved into almost like the mouth of a dragon. Mm-hmm. These 2 small eyes on the barrel glow as you put that into it.
Okay, so it was look at the gun and be like, all right, that's cool. Stick it down this holster.
Okay. You do notice, kind of looking at it, there is kind of a lever near where your thumb would sit on the the pistol.
Okay.
That you're not sure what it would do. No real concept of like a safety in a, sure. on a Western, yep. you know, revolver. So, you kind of intuit that that might be how you would use the Ecton.
Okay. Yeah. I'll probably test that later. I'm not going to just be like, hey, what's this do? Boop. right in the square.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to collect the horse and then go, get on the horse, kind of get acclimated, maybe ride around the camp and just kind of do like a, just kind of like a perimeter check. Just see like how many buildings there are, like how big is the area, what's beyond that. Do I see any ridges, just kind of defensible positions, that sort of thing. And after I do a couple loops and just kind of get acclimated with the horse, then I'll go back to Jasper's.
Okay. Yeah, so you go back to the horse. It's still there, tied up where you left it a few minutes ago.
Okay. So I just walk up and be like, hey there, there, boy, and kind of get up and get close, kind of rub down his mane and kind of down his side, just have him kind of just get used to me. Is he pretty calm now? Is he spooked? How's he doing?
Yeah, very calm. Seems like it's all past, and like you said, it's pretty used to this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not used to, you know, a new owner necessarily per se, but sure. it's pretty used to gunfire, conflict, those sorts of things. And, you know, so this is just kind of
okay.
Same old thing for this horse.
Yeah. So he'll just kind of talk a little bit more and be like, well, you're a bit of a pleasant surprise. I was not expecting this out of my day. And, hopefully you and I can get along well in this, this wild country out here. So, we say, we think we should get you a name. I don't know. What do you look like? Kind of looks sunny, but we already got a sunny here. Just kind of think back and see if I have any names or anything that kind of popped in my head and kind of sit there for a moment and have this thought of a name. I think I'll call you Akid. I don't know where that came from, but it's a strong name. Yeah, that'll do. He'll saddle up.
All right. Yeah, you saddle up and you start to, like you said, just circle around the town. Writing feels natural to you. It doesn't feel like something that you are having to learn as you go. It feels like you've been writing all your life. Easily get into leading this horse with your knees, you know, the reins, all that. And you ride around the town. You can see that most of the town is kind of, you know, huddled together. There's not a lot of buildings scattered very far. You can see a lot of farmland, you know, all sorts of things kind of around in a circle around the town. That large ridge is off to the side, kind of in the distance. It's a ways away.
Okay.
There's not really a whole lot else. Most of the immediate area is all farmland. If you look off to the north, it does look like there is an area where the land starts to go down into some sort of canyon or something like that. It's hard to tell from here because okay. it just kind of is pretty a ways away. Yeah, it's pretty open country. There's not a whole lot of trees or anything like that. It's mostly just farmland.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So then I'll head back over to Jasper's.
Okay. As you stop the horse in front of the Markin home, you can see Jasper is actually standing outside of the house with a couple of other townspeople. That female dwarf that had stepped forward and had told Jarl to talk to you mm-hmm. is there with him, and a halfling man, an older man who actually kind of looks a little like Jasper, so you assume it might be
okay.
his father, you know, that he had talked about. And then there's a gnome standing there as well, and they're kind of all just huddled together talking.
Okay. Yeah, so he'll just ride up and hop off the horse. Is there somewhere I can tie the horse to? Okay.
Yeah, most of the that's gonna be weird for me.
I know.
Most of the you know, the homes and the streets and thing, you know, the buildings have either fences or actual hitching posts, you know, that you can tie okay, the horse perfect. Off to. So
yeah. So I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay. As you kind of walk up, Jasper waves at you and...
Oh, hey there, Verboten.
Hey, Jasper. This is a nice place here. Once again, I appreciate you, you know, giving me the invitation here for your family. Who else is the pleasure of being introduced here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is Papa.
He motions to, you know, the older halfling that looks a lot like him.
Hey there. Do I call you Papa, too? I don't know.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes, that's what everybody calls me. I'm Papa.
All right. Well, this is a great home here, and you got a good boy. It's Jasper. He's a fine fella.
Oh, well, thanks for that. We like to think so.
Jasper says,
oh, yeah. Oh, and this is Ada.
Motions to the dwarf woman.
Oh, hey there, Ada. I was just talking about you with Sonny a bit ago. He said you got a fine store there and might be a place I'd want to stop in. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you. Thank you again for helping us. It's been a crazy day.
Yeah, that's quite the understatement, I would say.
Then the woman that's standing there also, she doesn't wait for Jasper to speak, steps forward and says,
"Well, hey there, I'm Willa."
Well, hey there, Willa. Are you part of the Markin family, or?
Oh no! I'm Willa Treeflow. We run the room and board over there.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Good to meet you.
Actually, a little bit. It's nice to meet you. You're kind of a hero in these parts.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've been here for a couple hours. I just feel like I did what needed to happen back there. But I'm glad to help and good to meet you again.
Oh, yes, definitely. Jasper,
a couple of them kind of push him forward, and he puts a hand in his pocket and says,
well, I know you talked about staying here, and I'm just curious, are you planning on sticking around?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, this might be a good place for me to stay for a bit. I'd like to be familiar with something, and I feel like I'm getting a little bit of that here. Now, how far are we from, like, the next town? That might be helpful for me to know.
Oof. Well, there's a town probably 3 days travel away, Tenpenny. I don't know, you're probably a week or two away from Ecton Falls. There's some other places around in the Gulch down to southwest, but I don't think you necessarily want to go there. That's even smaller than here.
Wow, so we are out of here. Man, 3 days to the nearest one. Is that Tenpenny, is that as big as here?
Oh, Tenpenny's probably a little bigger than here.
All right.
It's kind of a mining town. I don't know if you want to go there. They're not as nice people, you know?
You are all pretty nice here, so I will give you that. I don't know did I get the name of the town here? Where am I?
Oh, well, yeah, this is Silver Ridge.
Silver Ridge, that's right. I apologize.
Well,
His father kind of nudges him again, and he says,
"No, this is probably a little bit presumptuous of us, but..."
And he pulls his hand out of his pocket and kind of opens it, and there's a metal star on his hand. He says,
"You know, I told you about our sheriff being killed, and, well, you stood up for us and did such a good job, and we were hoping you'd stick around and be our sheriff."
Oh my, do you mind if I have a night to think about that? I mean, that's quite a proposition. I feel like I might be up to the job, but, you know, hearing what happened to your last year, if I, you know, I'd prefer to stay on, you know, this part of the ground. I wouldn't really want to be in the dirt, you know. But, you know, I'll see. I don't know. He's pretty nervous about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that was silly. We should definitely,
and he kind of motions to the others,
we should definitely give you a night to think it over, of course. That's no problem at all. Why don't you just take this?
And he hands you the star. He says,
and you can just give it back if you say no.
All right, I'll hang on to that. So he'll take it, and he'll put it like in a jacket pocket or something.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we got to get back to work, but, you know, Let me show you your room inside. And
all right, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Let's either way.
So he takes you inside of the house, and it's a pretty nice farmhouse. I mean, it's not large or anything. They're actually small, you know, pretty small people, but it's very well kept. You can tell that it's well cared for. They care about where they live and all these things. So he kind of is just pointing things out, you know, oh, here's our main sitting room where we like to just kind of hang out and talk. And here's the kitchen, and down that way, that's Mama and Papa's room. That's off limits. But, you know, this is where me and Tilda stay. And here, you can have this room here. There's nobody staying here right now. And we can make sure we get a bed in here. And there's not a bed now, but we're clearing all this stuff out of here. And we'll give you a place to stay here.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. No, it's warm and comfortable. And it looks quite homey. So that sounds fantastic. That floor looks great.
Well, all right. Well, I'm sorry to have sprung that on you with the sheriff thing. Everybody, we're all really worried. And, you know, you're the only one with a weapon, and you've already shown that you are willing to step in. And so we just wanted to strike while the iron is hot, so to speak, and before you leave.
Yeah, I understand that. That actually does make a lot of sense. I mean, if I were in your shoes, I'd probably do the same thing. So I'm not telling you no at this point. I just you probably know the most about me at this point. You saw the condition I woke up just a little bit earlier, so I think some time for me to figure that out would be good.
Well, let us know if you need anything. Papa and I are actually going to have to head out to the fields here, but if you need anything, just let us know. And again, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I am feeling a little famished. Is there a place where I can go and grab a bite?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, you could go down to kind of room and board and have something to eat, or you could, you know, the saloon, they got food, or you're welcome to anything in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll leave that for you. I appreciate that's my account. But, yeah, I'll go check out the room and board, and we'll see if I can scrounge up something. I appreciate you, Jasper.
Oh, well, yeah, you're welcome. I think you'll find that we're pretty welcoming people here, and you should have a pretty easy time of anything you need.
All right, that sounds good.
He leaves.
Okay. I'll probably just walk the horse down and tie the horse up in front of the room and board.
Okay. So you go inside, and it's a fairly spacious open room. You can see there's stairs in the back of the room that obviously lead up to rooms and things. Mm-hmm. But there's a open kitchen in the back portion of the room, and there's a counter kind of in front of the kitchen, you know, that you could sit at. And then there's tables and things scattered around, and you can see Willa, who you had just met a little bit ago. And then there's a male gnome working in the kitchen. And then there's a dragonborn also in the kitchen.
Okay. So there's like a counter towards the kitchen. Yeah. So I'll walk up there and see if anybody is, you know, if it gets their attention.
Yeah. So, I mean, as soon as you walk in, Willa notices you and waves and just kind of keeps working. She's cleaning some of the tables. But as you sit down, the male gnome walks over and is just kind of, you know, wiping his hands and says, well, hey there. It's very, very nice to see you.
Well, I appreciate that. Everybody here is just so kind with that. Verboden, and you are?
Oh, I'm Irvin. Irvin Treeflow.
Irvin Treeflow. I met a Treeflow. I was Willow, right? Are you two hitched?
Oh, well, she puts up with me.
All right. That's what we can say for all of them, you know? Well, I'm just here looking for some food to eat. Am I coming to the right place?
Oh, yeah. We'll make you anything you need. You saved our town.
Well, if you know, if I was just here in Silver Ridge for a day and you had to give me one thing to eat, what would that be?
Well, how hungry are you?
I'm pretty hungry, man. I feel like I haven't eaten in a week.
Well, you're in for a treat. I'm going to give you Sonny special. You know, you've seen him, right?
Oh, he's a big fellow.
He's big, and he eats. I'll give you his special.
All right, we'll see if I can step up to the challenge and finish this.
I'll
talk to Sonny about it.
All right. Hey, Dre, let's get cooking.
So the Dragonborn and Irvin get, you know, they start cooking, they're cracking eggs, they start making some bacon, looks like they're, you know, kind of making a breakfast type of food, eggs, bacon, there's a loaf of bread that they cut up some bread and start Looks like they're almost frying the bread.
Am I getting some French toast?
Yeah, it's essentially eggs, awesome. Bacon, French toast. There's some potatoes that they're cutting up, some hash browns. It's like, it's the works.
Nice.
So it takes maybe 15 minutes and they finish it up and kind of plate it up and bring it over to you. And he says, you want something like a coffee or a juice or anything?
Oh man, a coffee sounds fantastic. Man, you guys just outdid yourselves. Like, I am excited and I want to stop talking because I would eat this food right here in front of me.
Oh, eat.
Yeah, so he digs into that.
Yeah, he goes and gets a pretty large mug and brings it over and pours you some hot coffee. Actually, at first, as he's pouring it, it doesn't really look that hot. But as he's pouring it, you start to see steam kind of rising from it.
Okay. It's a cool trick. Man, this is so good. Man, you were lying here, Mervin. This is delicious.
Oh, well, it's nice to be appreciated.
And I'll appreciate this daily if I stick around. Man, this is good.
Well, I know about the offer that was made to you, and if this is what'll get you to stick around, well, we'll give it to you every day.
All right, well, we'll see about that. We'll do his best to finish that off.
All right. So yeah, you finish the meal. They mostly leave you alone after that. As you're finishing, it looks like people are starting to kind of not necessarily come inside, but you kind of notice that people just are kind of passing and looking in windows. Willa goes out every once in a while and talks to some people. It looks like you're gaining a little bit of attention. People are curious about you, wanting to know what your choice is. It seems like the whole town already probably kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah, they're all talking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so from there, I think he's just going to probably just rest a bit, hang out. It seems like it's a comfortable place, and now he's got a full stomach, so he'll hang out there probably a good, 20-30 minutes, just drinking his coffee, relaxing.
Okay. Anything specific you want to do for the rest of the day, or are you kind of going to just get your bearings, hang out?
Yeah, I think he's just going to just hang out. I mean, it's a lot to take in. He's already met quite a few people. So, yeah, I think he's probably, I'm feeling a little maxed and tired.
Yeah. Okay. But you spend the rest of the afternoon into the evening, and eventually, I'm assuming you make your way back to the Marken farm, mm-hmm. and they're kind and offer you dinner and all these things, and then you go to bed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you wake up early in the morning. It sounds like people are moving around. There's a whole, rooster crowing at dawn kind of a deal, mm-hmm. and they're farmers, so they're getting up early and
sure.
getting about their day. Anything specific you want to do?
Oh, man. So I think right after waking up, stretch and maybe just spend a minute and just take the chalice out. Just kind of look at that, feel over the markings, and just see if that's striking anything with me.
Okay. You spend some time, nothing really sparks memory at this point, but, as you kind of look over this chalice, you feel like it's almost like calling to you. You kind of focus on it and almost feel like it's trying to pull something from you. Which is probably both a little bit scary and interesting, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll just kind of meditate on that a little bit and then tuck that back away to a safe spot in his, on his person, and then head out back into the town.
As you head out into the town, you see that younger dwarf, Jarl. You're not sure if he was waiting for you or just, kind of was passing by, but he kind of stops as he sees you.
You said you could teach me to shoot. Is that an offer still on the table?
That's right. That sure does. It's like you're in the right place at the right time. Was there a good spot we can head out and I can show you a few things?
Yes, I think so. And he leads you back behind the mill. And you can see there's actually couple of, like, you know, cans and bottles and things set up on a rail. It looks like he's prepped and ready. And he looks super eager in a, like, in a way of trying to contain himself, not, you know, embarrass himself, but he looks very eager. Did you give him the gun already, or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I handed it to him previously, so he would have that.
Okay. He has, looks like, fashioned his own holster. It's just kind of a little loop of leather on a belt, but he's got the pistol in it.
Yes. So, well, what do I do?
All right. Well, I'm excited about your enthusiasm and getting this all prepared for us. So, so go ahead and take that out of there. So, you're going to aim down the sights here, and he kind of shows him, you know, how to line it up. You know, the key here is you're going to, you want to pull through on the trigger. You don't want to, like, not jerk. You want to be smooth motion. What I do is I take a deep breath out as I pull that all the way through. So you can aim right there and line up them sights and just squeeze.
You probably spend 15 to 20 minutes with, you know, explaining what to do. He tries it. He's terrible. You kind of explain again, try to fix it, but you pretty quickly realize he's just awful.
Got it.
Okay. It doesn't seem like he's making any progress whatsoever. He's kind of starting to get frustrated. You can tell. He's like cursing under his breath, and
doesn't seem like it should be this difficult.
Well, yeah, you know, it's... do you ride a horse?
Yes, I can ride a horse.
Are you pretty good on a horse?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, that analogy's not going to work out now. What are you good at?
I'm good with an axe.
All right, good with an axe. Like it chopping stuff and throwing an axe? What do you do with it?
Chopping. Yes, chopping. I can also... Yes, I can throw an axe, and
he kind of looks a little bit embarrassed.
I can hit most things if I throw the axe.
Well, that's something good. Now, if you, let's say, you were just getting started with that axe there, I mean, you had to practice, right? Did you hit your target the first time?
Yes.
Well, and then you're just a natural axe thrower then, I would say. all I'm getting at is, you know, some things you got to work at a bit, and it's not going to come completely natural, and that's all right. So I think where we're at today, you know, this is a good start. You're just getting used to holding it and seeing how it works, and, you know, being safe with it. So, you know, I think this is a good stopping point. We'll pick up maybe tomorrow if I'm still around. Would you like to hang on to that, or I can hang on to it for you? You know, I can have it for you tomorrow.
Can I keep practicing?
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, I could tell you're getting a little frustrated, so, you know, if you need to take a break, and that's all right, too. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. No shame there.
I will keep practicing.
All right, sounds good. I think I'm going to, you know, do a little practice myself. So I'm going to pull out the gun and aim it at a bottle, and I want to push the button for the act, and I want to see what this does out here.
Okay. As you flip that lever, you feel a bit of a rush of energy kind of flow up through your arm. It kind of connects in your mind, and you feel like you need to pick an element.
Okay. It's unexpected.
It's not like a, you know, an RPG menu pops up in your right, you know, hood or anything, but you just kind of get this feeling like there's multiple elemental options, and you need to pick one.
I think I would go with fire.
Okay. Yeah. You kind of get this feeling roll up your arm, and then, you know, you kind of fire enters your, you know, your mind, and you feel this magical sense kind of push down your arm, and you see those eyes that are glowing on the barrel turn red.
All right. And I will pull the trigger.
You pull the trigger, and the bullet doesn't just, you know, come out, but a massive, like, wave of fire pushes it out of the barrel, and you can just see this, basically a fireball, shoot out of the end of your gun and smash into this, you know, this target.
Overkill.
Into the bottle. And yeah, it just explodes. I mean, all the bottles there explode. It's quite the fireball that kind of hits and impacts and explodes.
Hope nobody's freaked out about that. That kind of was unexpected there, Jarl. What do you say?
He's kind of like a little shocked, and he looks at the gun you gave him, and he goes, "Does mine do that?"
No, definitely not. If your gun explodes like that, it's for a different reason. So, yeah. Well, that's interesting. If I look at the chamber, like, did that use up the entire amount of actin, or how, can I tell what it used?
It looks like it used a little bit.
Okay.
But it's hard to estimate how much, you know, it used or how much you would have left, but you certainly could get quite a few more shots out of that one vial of actin.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, that was a pleasure working with you, Jarl. I feel like we can make some progress, and, you know, I think one of these days your shoot will be like your axe throwing.
I hope so. I want to get out of this town.
Oh, really? Where do you want to go?
Anywhere. Anywhere but here.
Oh, what's so bad here, but it's so nice?
Boring. I don't want to run a general store. I want to do something exciting with my life.
And what kind of things are exciting? I mean, that seemed pretty exciting yesterday.
Would be if I had had my axe.
Well, yeah, I believe that. So, one adventure, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
I think I could be an adventurer. Yes, I think so.
That's pretty cool. You got family here? Anybody that miss you?
My mother wants me to take over the store, but I don't want to be a storekeeper.
How's your mother feel about that? Have you told her this?
No. She is strong personality.
I see. I think you take after your mother. You got quite the presence.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, be here bright and early tomorrow?
Oh, yes, certainly. I will practice more, and I will be better for tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Maybe bring an axe. You can show me a couple things.
Oh, yes, I can show you how to throw an axe.
Yeah, sounds like a blast.
He seems like he's excited about this, and he goes and, you know, it looks like he has kind of a crate of various different cans and bottles and things that he replaces the ones you just exploded.
Awesome, yeah, so I'll walk back over into the town.
Okay. So you head back into the town. A few minutes later, there you hear kind of a commotion going on over near the saloon. And do you walk over there?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a kind of a little bit of a crowd of people who have collected there, and they're grouped around a gnome. And as they see you, you can kind of tell that they stop what they're doing and talking about. And this gnome kind of rushes over to you and he says,
"Oh, mister, I really need your help. They've come and they're attacking the mine."
Who's they? Who's come?
Well, it's the same people from yesterday. They're attacking our mine.
Oh, man. How many are there?
I think there were those two from yesterday, and then a couple more. I think there's maybe three or four.
Are there more of your workers there? Are they overrun it? What's happened?
Oh, it's just my family right now. Dad is trying to kind of talk them down, but they want our mine.
Oh, man. All right. You guys have any way to defend yourselves there, or?
Not really. They're locked in the mine right now, trying to keep them out, but I'm sure they'll be able to break in.
All right. How far is this mine of yours?
Oh, it's not far. I can take you there. This is a couple minutes ride.
Okay. Yeah, that's, all right. I'll come with you. Hang on. I'll be right back. And, Ravone's going to run over to Jarl. Hey, Jarl, you got an axe handy?
No, I would have to go get it.
You want to help me out here? There's, sounds like those, mining guys are back and causing some trouble. I think I might need some backup. You want to ride with me?
Oh, yes, yes. I would love that. Let me get my axe. And
kind of looks at the pistol and puts it in his belt. It almost like drops, but he catches it and puts it in.
And I will bring the pistol.
Yeah, let's just use that as a backup. Hopefully we won't need that. But I think, you know, since you said you'd go with that axe, let's bring that instead.
Yes, this is good plan.
All right, let's go.
All right, so he rushes over to the store and comes out a few minutes later, and he has two axes, kind of long-handled axes that he is carrying. He puts one kind of on his back, and the other one he's just carrying, and he goes and gets a horse out of the stable, and he saddles up.
Yes, we'll saddle up and go to this gnome and see if he can lead us there.
Okay. Yeah, he has kind of a pony that he jumps on, and he takes you to the north of the town, and you can kind of see he's leading you towards where that canyon was. And so you ride for a few minutes, and eventually he leads you down into this canyon. You can see it looks like there has been some mining work on this canyon, but nothing like super significant.
Okay.
You know, it's not a massive mine that is
not some huge operation.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, maybe just what he's said, that it's his family. Right. And, you know, there's some little bits of work here and there that you can see, but it looks like maybe they were looking for something and didn't find it in various places, you know. And so he kind of rides a little bit, and then he stops. He kind of looks around up to the sides of the canyon, and then he looks at Jarl and he says, "I'm sorry." And then he just bolts off. And you hear the sounds of guns clacking as they are loaded and aimed down your way.
Mm-hmm.
And you start hearing gunfire and bullets coming your way.
Okay. Yikes. Sold out. All right. So from the ground to the top of like a canyon wall, like about how much distance is that?
Probably like 35 to 40 feet.
Okay. Man, they definitely got the advantage here. Shoot. Looking, and this is happening quickly, but like looking at the end of the canyon, like, what do I see down there? Or does it kind of go down and stop into like the mining operation?
It continues for quite a while and then looks like it rapidly goes down, but you can't really see what's down there because it's still a ways away.
Okay, yeah, so then I think just quickly I would try to... This is stressful. I think I'm going to... Man, I think about this. You know, as soon as I notice that guy take off and then these guys with the guns, you know, shoot, I think I would try to gain some speed. So, like, yeah, like, hit the horse and then hopefully Yara will follow suit.
Okay. Let me set this scene ambushed aspect. They have two free kind of invocations on that against you. He's going to use that to actually reroll. Let's say 1 plus 3, so he gets a 4. So you need to roll 4 defense against a 4.
Okay, so then I would use, I think, my ride skill, since I'm trying to get this horse going quickly. So I roll the -1, then plus the ride skill 2, so then it'd be a 1?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, so that's 3 points of damage against you, unless you're going to do something else to try to add to your roll.
I don't think so. We'll see how the other guys do, but I think, yeah, I'll take that. So then I could either mark off the 3 on the stress track, or it would be the 1 and the 2.
Correct.
Okay, I'll mark off the 3.
All right, the next one is going to attack you. He only has a 1 in shoot, so hopefully that'll go a little better. He rolled a -3, plus his 1, that's a -2. Yeah, he's just going to go ahead and use the other use of ambushed, and is going to... Go ahead and re-roll that. So you got a 0 plus 1, so that's a 1.
I got a with my work. So I'm using ride, I guess, as my skill still, right? Okay, so then that would be, I got a 1 total.
Okay, so that just kind of cancels out.
Okay.
The third also has a 1 in shoot, and they've used both of their uses of ambushed. But he also got a 1.
All right, I roll a 3.
Okay. So you successfully defend against that one. Fourth guy is going to also attack. He also has a 1 in shoot. Oh, he rolled a 3, so that is a 4.
So I got 4 as well.
Okay, awesome. So once again, you can successfully defend against that. So you are, you know, you're just riding, and you feel yourself get hit by a, you know, a bullet. You don't feel a lot of pain, so, you know, it doesn't feel like it did a ton of damage to you, mm-hmm. but, and then you're just hearing kind of bullets, you know, clanging off of the ground, off of a rock, you know, things as you're kind of just booking it. All right. So the fifth guy is going to also attack you. He also has a plus three to shoot. So with his roll of a zero, that's a three.
With mine's four.
Okay. Perfect. So you have kind of successfully defended, except for the one hit, mm-hmm. against all those. You and Jarl are up. You can have him go first, or you can go first. It's up to you.
You know, hopefully he's falling behind me. I've just tried to book it through this canyon and then get some space between me and them. So have I cleared that and there's no more, like, in front of me?
You don't see any in front of you right now.
Okay. Yeah, so I will... I'm just going to keep riding, because I'm definitely outnumbered here, and this is not a good situation. So I'm going to keep riding till I feel like I'm out of potential gun range, and then I'll try to stop the horse, circle back around, and get my bearings a bit.
So you just kind of keep going. Jarl is... He's a little ways behind you, because he didn't react as quickly as you, but mm-hmm. he is following you, and he has kind of, you know, pulled out his pistol, and he has taken a couple of shots that haven't hit anything, but yeah. he's just kind of firing back because he can. So you continue to ride forward, and you can see now where the canyon kind of dips further, that there are three people on horses there with weapons pointed at you.
Okay.
So you are riding towards these three characters.
Is it my turn? Can I be up and can I shoot at these guys?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So riding forward, I kind of like brace myself on a kid as I'm riding. I'm going to pull out the pistol and I'm going to click for fire mode.
Okay.
And then I'm going to aim at the guy in the middle.
Okay, awesome. So you will go ahead and, you know, make a shoot roll. Essentially, what the fire mode does is you're going to be able to kind of splash damage onto, you know, anybody within close range. So you, if you hit him, you'll be able to splash damage onto the two.
Nice. Next Glad I got to pick the middle guy.
Yeah. So go ahead and make your shoot roll. They're going to use physique, or he's going to use physique. So he rolled a negative two, so he got a zero.
Okay, so I rolled a two with my, and then my bonus of plus four for shoot, since that's my great skill, so that's a six total.
All right, that uses up all of his stress track, so he dies. So you know, this fireball essentially hits in the center and just explodes, and you can see him burn to a crisp. It's kind of like, you know, flash burned, and you know, his body goes flying. The horse he was riding is on the ground screaming with most of itself, you know, kind of burned. And then you can see these two on the sides, kind of this fire spread to them, and they're kind of like trying to pat fire off of themselves, you know, put themselves out. They essentially are distracted trying to put the fire out and are not going to, they've taken some damage, but are not going to be able to attack you.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Jarl is just going to take a shot at one of them. He has no concept of shooting. So
his heart's in the right place.
Yeah. It's going to, you know, he's got a zero in shoot, but he's going to go ahead and take a shot anyway. You never know. A little bit two. So that's a two against one of them. We'll see how that goes.
On Jarl.
Well, they got a two as well, so
okay.
His shot misses.
So close.
Yeah. So at this point, it's, you know, kind of back to their turn. The three guys there are not going to be able to attack you, but the five mm-hmm. are going to attack you again. You aren't quite out of their range.
Okay.
You're going to need to do basically five defensive rolls again.
Yep.
First one is a four.
That'd be a one.
Three damage against you.
Okay, I'm trying to think if there's any aspects that would work here. I think, yeah, let's do that. I'm going to use these people need help with no one coming. Do you feel like that could apply here? Or no, because there's nobody else here that I'm actually really helping. Like, I just got lured out. So, yeah, actually, you know what? No, I don't think that works, huh?
Well, now that you've argued yourself out of it, I think I'm going to go with
I know,
that,
right?
So.
Dang it.
I would have gone with it, but you argued yourself out of it. So
I'm just trying to be fair. Yeah, so then I will... That'll use up then my one and my two and my stress track.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
Second attack. Oof, that's a four.
I rolled a negative four, and then with my I'm going to use my physique for that, so that'll be a -1.
Okay. So that's 5 damage.
Okay. So then I guess that would be more than what I have on my stress track. So I have a 4 left. So okay. How does that work?
So basically you'd mark off the 4, and then 1 point of damage goes into a mild consequence. And I'm just going to say, for the sake of this, I mean, you've been ambushed, you've been attacked, that you are knocked out of your saddle and you lose consciousness.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to have your mild consequence, which will go away at the end of this,
okay,
as just unconscious.
Okay, writing that down. That's no good.
You lose consciousness, and that is that.
Uh-oh.
You regain a little bit of your awareness, and you can feel wind rushing above and below you as you actually start to regain sight, and you see yourself, you see the ground and the landscape far below you. You are flying high above the ground. You can feel wings beating up and down that are attached to your back. And you can just kind of feel yourself soaring through the air, your wings beating up and down and up and down, just enough to keep you aloft and moving forward. Although you don't feel like you have anywhere to go, anywhere special to be, you're just kind of enjoying the day. You are just enjoying the feeling of flying, the air rushing under your wings. Your attention drifts as you fly through the air, just watching the landscape below you. Time and speed and awareness all just kind of are starting to slip and shift, and you are just floating there until your attention is caught by screams below you. You bank your wings and shift around and turn, and you see the landscape below you is on fire. Everything is burning, just waves of rolling flames sweeping across the landscape, leaving only charred ruins behind. You feel this sense of alarm and panic kind of building inside your chest as you look down at this landscape, and you kind of desperately start to look around for a way to put out this fire. But nothing seems to be there. Nothing seems to be available. You suddenly feel a ripping pain in your back as your wings suddenly stop beating. You feel this sense of horror kind of lance through you as you turn your head desperately from side to side and see your wings tumbling away from you. You begin to plummet directly toward these flames below. Your mouth opens in a scream, but all that comes out is plumes of smoke as you feel a fire erupt inside of you. A small voice whispers in your ear just before you impact the ground. It says, "Was she worth it?"